You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This is Nightline.
Tonight, fallout and firings. More Memphis police officers relieved of duty.
Oh, stop his ass.
After the vicious beating of Tyree Nichols.
I think that all of them should pay, along with the white officer that was tasing my son. How come he hasn't been charged with anything?
The Scorpion unit disbanded, now facing new allegations. Five of the officers charged with murder were members. A nation outraged, demanding police reform. What changes need to be made?
Shut it down!
Plus, faith and freedom. Ginger Duggar Volo, reality TV royalty, growing up on 19 kids and counting, now revealing the turmoil and trauma behind her strict religious upbringing.
I would say it was very destructive because it was based on fear, superstition, manipulation, and control.
Why her life has taken a dramatic turn. And remembering the original Wednesday Addams. Lisa Loring.
It's called The Truth.
The character she made famous, now enjoying a resurgence because of the popular Netflix series Wednesday.
Nightline. We'll be right back.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. We begin tonight with the continuing fallout in Memphis over the beating of Tyree Nichols after the release of those horrific videos. We learned more today about the chaos of that night in the investigation. Tyree's mother vowing that her son's death will not be in vain.
I need to know who you are. You're a danger to the public. You're a danger to me. You're a murderer.
In the heart of Memphis, outrage and an all too familiar pain.
To stand with the family of Tyree Nichols and to stand with all of those who are seeking justice right now.
The demonstration, the latest erupting across the country after the police beating of 29-year-old Tyree Nichols by Memphis police officers. Nichols, a father, FedEx worker, and a passionate skateboarder shown here in video tweeted by the family attorney, Ben Crump. His mother, Rovon Wells, on The View today, hoping her son's death won't be in vain.
He was just a beautiful person, and that his legacy will be changed.
Now, new questions and details are emerging about the assault. Today, two Memphis EMTs, as well as one Memphis Fire Department lieutenant, fired. The two EMTs seen in this body camera arriving on scene, but standing to the side, watching Tyree writhing on the ground, struggling to keep his head up. In a statement, the Memphis Fire Department saying, after concluding our internal investigation, it was determined that EMT B. Long, EMT A. Sandbridge, and Lieutenant Whitaker violated numerous MFD policies and protocols. Also, two Memphis police officers, including Officer Preston Hemphill, and two Shelby County deputies were relieved of duty. Hemphill seen here deploying his taser as Nichols flees. Hemphill is heard minutes later on his body camera.
Oh, stop his ass.
His attorney, Lee Gerald, saying in a statement that Hemphill is cooperating with officials in this investigation.
This isn't a story of individual racist people. This is a story of systems and structures and policies and incentives.
My colleague, Stephanie Ramos, spoke with the Shelby County District Attorney, who said more charges are possible.
We are looking at everybody. The fact that we did an indictment relatively quickly about towards the five officers that were actually present at that second scene and actually were involved in the beating of Tyree Nichols does not at all preclude us doing later charges to other people later on.
So far, the five officers charged with multiple felonies, including second-degree murder, all part of the department's Scorpion unit that was disbanded over the weekend. Attorneys for two of the former police officers, Mills and Martin, saying their clients intend to plead not guilty.
Think about the name, the Scorpion Team. Like, what is a scorpion supposed to do? You have this mentality, you recruit the kind of person that wants to engage in this very heavy-handed, aggressive policing. You put them in these teams and then you unleash them on the community. You give them the mandate, right? We tell them this is what we want you to do.
What I don't want to happen is the same practices, tactics of that Scorpion unit comes back with a different name. I think that this community wants those who had a duty, who did not fulfill that duty, want them disciplined.
It's a community that City Council Chairman Martavius Jones grew up in and has served the city for the past 20 years.
I think that if we have a series of police officers being disciplined, district attorneys filing charges, I think that if we set that pattern, I think that that's going to be a strong deterrent in preventing this from going forward.
People in Memphis gathering again tonight to mourn the tragic loss of Tyre Nichols.
Continue to pray for my city. That's how we get past this, time and prayer. There's no shortcut. That's how we heal from this.
Earlier this evening, I spoke with Democratic Congressman Stephen Horsford of Nevada, the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, the group requesting to meet with the president to talk about police reform, and we learned late today that the president has accepted that invitation. Congressman Horsford, first question, what do you hope to accomplish in your meeting with the president?
This is one of the most critical issues facing the American people. I talked to the president today. The fact that so many of our constituents across America have been touched in one way or another based on police encounters. And because I spoke to the Nichols family on Sunday, I wanted to convey to the president what he knows, which is this is a serious enough matter for him to center in his speech at the State of the Union. On top of that, there are additional executive actions that the president can take while we work towards a bipartisan solution for legislative action.
Do you think Tyre Nichols' death will inspire lawmakers in a divided Congress to pass sweeping police reform? And Republicans control the House now, and they've made clear they seem to have no appetite for this.
I reject the notion that we cannot do big things, including improving police culture in America. I am for supporting law enforcement. I fund our police, and everyday men and women who work in law enforcement, many of them do their jobs nobly. But when there are incidents of bad policing practice, we need to address it. I would also say that I had a conversation and will be meeting with Senator Tim Scott, a Republican from South Carolina, who also recognizes the time to act is now. So we do have momentum.
Your Democratic colleague, Senator Durbin, over the weekend called for, quote, a national conversation on policing. But respectfully, sir, how much more evidence do lawmakers need to have more than just a conversation about policing in our country?
Well, look, I'm always open to hearing perspectives, but we do have evidence. For example, in Memphis alone, they have reports that show that the use of force is used three times more against black residents than on white residents in that city. Why don't we have that information about all major police departments across the country? That is one of the things that we will be talking to the president about later this week. But there's also a role for community-based solutions and for the voices of all people in America to call their members of Congress, to put pressure on this process.
How do we even begin to change police culture and training on a national level, especially when it comes to how law enforcement interacts with men of color?
What I and the Congressional Black Caucus are calling for is to improve the culture of policing, to make sure that we have the adequate policies at the federal, state, and local level, that where we need to take legislative action, we do, and where the president can use the power of his office, he does.
Congressman, you're a father of three children. You and I both know you could have been in that car. Your children could have been in that car. How frustrated are you that we are still in this place in America where people, and particularly people of color, young men of color, so often find themselves in this situation?
Well, first, let me say it is extraordinarily frustrating. It's maddening, in fact. But children don't find themselves in this situation. The situation imposes it on the children and on so many Black and brown people throughout this country. All of us can agree that bad policing should not be allowed anywhere in America. That is not a partisan issue. That's not a Republican or a Democratic issue. This is about safety.
We can hear the frustration in your voice, frustration shared in many corners of our country. Congressman, thank you so much, sir, for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, faith and freedom. Ginger Duggar Volo's new reality after 19 kids and counting.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Ginger Duggar Volo belonged to reality TV royalty, her family the envy of many because of the wholesome image they presented. Then it all came crashing down. Now Volo has renounced much of what she grew up practicing. Here's my Nightline co-anchor, Juju Jang.
I was raised on TV and grew up in the public eye since I was 10 years old.
You talk about growing up in a fishbowl.
I was struggling with a lot of fear and anxiety.
We're the Duggars.
For the millions of fans of 19 Kids and Counting, Ginger Duggar's life seemed idyllic as the fourth of nine daughters in the conservative Christian mega family, the Duggars. Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar, along with their 19 biological children, found fame and fortune by showcasing their virtue and their super-sized, super-strict Christian lifestyle.
There was a lot of fear. Rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. Women weren't allowed to work outside the house. Mm-hmm. No yeah. loans. Yeah. No pants. Mm-hmm. No rock and roll.
Yeah.
The family, a source of fascination, but off camera, Ginger says she suffered from extreme anxiety.
I would say, looking back at my younger self, I had such a sweet childhood. And at the same time, I didn't know why I was struggling.
But now, the 29-year-old rejecting many of what she says were oppressive rules that dominated many aspects of her childhood.
I remember a story being told to me of a young man who died in a car accident because he was listening to rock music. And somebody in the car turned on, like, even Christian music with drums. And I thought, we're for sure gonna die. Like, we're gonna get in a car accident and die. I was, like, shaking in the back seat, crying.
Because of the drums?
Because of the drums. Because when you think that you don't know what God expects of you, that's just so damaging.
Her new book, Becoming Free Indeed, My Story of Disentangling Faith from Fear, chronicling her departure from the strict Christian teachings, she says, caused her to suffer from perfectionism, eating disorders, and panic attacks.
It was very destructive because it was based on fear, superstition, manipulation, and control. And so I needed to be freed from those things.
When I look at your heavens,
Ginger says her husband Jeremy, a graduate student in divinity, helped her see there could be another way.
I met Jeremy, and it really challenged my perspective on, okay, you can still be a Christian who loves God and glorifies God, but you don't have to live by all these man-made rules to be okay and to be safe.
The couple have two daughters whose privacy they protect, not showing them on TV or social media.
Do you plan to have 19 children?
No, I think we're happy with our girls right now. And we'll see. We might go for number three. Not yet.
But this okay. sounds like family planning that involves birth control.
So that's something that we talked about, Jeremy and I talked about before we were married. And so I was just examining the Word of God. Again, like, I want everything to go back to my foundation for life. And then I realized, okay, just because kids are a blessing from God doesn't mean that you have to have as many of them as possible.
The Duggar family, devoted followers of the Institute in Basic Life Principles, founded by Minister Bill Gothard. The Institute organizing family conferences like this one in Big Sandy, Texas, reinforcing faith and values. Nightline was there in 2011.
Here you go. Let me show you here.
Yeah.
Along with the Duggar family.
I remember looking around going, what is going on here? Because it was so gender segregated.
Yeah.
Right, the boys would go outside.
That's true.
The girls would be told that housework was the only thing they could do.
Yeah, so when you're asked what you want to be, it's so simple. Everybody wants to be a wife and a mother, which is, it's not a bad thing. Being a wife and a mom, I will say that. It's I'm a wife and a mom, and I love it. Being in that setting, like you would never think it was okay to do anything other than that.
Ginger now renouncing many of those beliefs and the man who she says was behind them.
I thought that his words were the words of God, and it wasn't until I got older I stopped and started to examine his teachings.
I mean, you refer to him almost as a false prophet.
I would say so. He's definitely a false prophet, false teacher.
Gothard resigned in 2014 after sexual harassment allegations made against him by female followers.
What was your emotional reaction to those accusations?
Oh, my heart was just broken, just thinking about the trail of hurt.
Gothard was never charged, and a civil lawsuit against him was dropped. In a statement to ABC News, he called the accusations false, saying the thought of harassing someone is totally foreign to my nature. It would never have happened. Ginger says her parents still ascribe to those teachings.
Are you estranged from your parents?
No, I still talk to my parents. I just talked to my mom like a day ago. And so I'm really grateful for my parents. They sought to give me the best life as any parent would. You do what you think is best for your kid.
The Duggars have been vocal about their beliefs. Nightline interviewed Ginger's oldest brother, Josh, at the Big Sandy Conference in 2011.
There's many different definitions of courtship, but for us, it meant really choosing purity, choosing to wait for a lot of things that people would take for granted. So our first kiss was on our wedding day.
Wow.
But the family had a dark secret. Josh acknowledging in 2015 that he molested five girls when he was a teenager, including four of his sisters. The family's reality show was canceled after it came to light.
He was never charged.
Then in 2021, Josh was convicted of possession of child pornography and is now serving 12 years in prison.
Sorry, it's hard to talk about. My heart just breaks for the victims and their families.
When the sentencing came down, you spoke up and condemned your brother's behavior
mm-hmm.
by calling it a horrific evil. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to him since he was incarcerated?
No, I haven't.
Throughout her journey, Ginger says she hasn't rejected her faith.
My relationship with God is what matters the most to me, and I want people who have walked through hardship and pain to be able to come to the place where they see that you don't have to reject your faith because you've been harmed by it, within it, but you can separate truth from error and come out on the other side stronger.
Ginger is now building her own family on her own terms. She even wore pants to our interview, something she could never have imagined in her childhood.
I want to live my life in a way that glorifies God, and you can do that by wearing pants, you can do that by wearing shorts. It's hard for some people to come to that place, but it is much easier to ride a bike in pants.
Our thanks to Juju. Up next, remembering Lisa Loring, the original Wednesday Addams.
This is the latest. It's called The Drew.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
And finally tonight, the life and legacy of Lisa Loring, the original Wednesday Addams.
The Addams Family.
America came to know her as the impish Wednesday on the TV series The Addams Family.
Then I can run away and still be around to see them suffer.
And just like the character on Netflix series Wednesday, she has smooth dance moves. Other TV appearances followed after the series ended, including The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. and Fantasy Island. She later appeared on the soap opera As the World Turns in the 80s. Loring died over the weekend after suffering a stroke. She was 64. And that's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.